Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Every fiber of my being is trying to be a professional right now.
Oh, you can be.
Anyway, how's everybody doing? How's everybody?
Good morning.
Fantastic. Good yeah. Tuesday to you.
Good Tuesday.
It's weird
to you.
That it's Tuesday.
Feels like a Monday.
For me, it feels like a Thursday. I woke up and I'm like, Thursday.
Why?
I don't know. It's so weird.
I wish I could say that I had looked forward to... I enjoyed my weekend. It was rather intense. I will get into the details and the minutia of it. I don't like traveling, but coming back today is weird. We're taping the show early. We've had technical issues this morning. I'm going to have to probably blast out of here a little early today. I was... I'm usually, especially after 3 days... I'm really ready to get back and do this show. Unfortunately, today I have holding over my head this little procedure where they check me out to see if I get the clean bill of health, and I got to go through this dog and pony show to do it, which means I've got to take I had to set my alarm for 12:30. And I turned in at about 10, so I got about 2.5 hours. Then you have to get up at 6:30, and you got to take these drugs. And then at 10:30, I have to take one last little drug. And then at 10 o'clock, I got to take 50 milligrams of Benadryl, which they tell me is, look, I'm a big person. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal.
Right.
But I have to be down there to take this at 10 o'clock this morning, where I will take this drug, and then apparently it's going to make me very loopy because I'm allergic to the stuff they're going to shoot into me.
Oh, wow. So the Benadryl is like help you prepare for the stuff. So you don't have a bad reaction.
They're going to look at my lungs. They're going to look at my lungs, and they're going to say, "Hey, you're 100%." But of course, if it goes the way it normally goes, not to be. And by the way, I like to keep the glass half full. No, I don't. The way it'll probably go is, no, it's still there. You're on this stuff for 6 months, 6 more months, which gives you migraines and all that. Look, I'm hoping that this is
hope
the beginning.
For the best.
Yeah, keep
this
your fingers
is the
crossed.
Beginning of getting things squared away.
Why does this need to be squared away for those not in the know?
When I got my hip done, there were two problems you could have with a hip replacement. You could have a blood clot or you could have an infection.
Right.
Got both. And so I've been dealing with this. And the one blood clot I got is the kind that can kill you, which is called a pulmonary embolism.
That's not fun. I heard that. I had to look that up. And then I called relatives of mine. They said, look for a job.
I probably did not know. I probably didn't know just how serious it was because I had been misdiagnosed with some other horrible stuff, which they got wrong. And I was rooting for the blood clot because I didn't want the other stuff, which was, what did they say I had that I didn't? Oh, borderline congestive heart failure.
I remember that.
And I thought it was Legionnaires.
And an enlarged stars. No, not Legionnaires disease. That'll be next month. But the thing about it is, so I didn't freak as much. The only time I freak is when I've talked to other hip guys afterwards and said, oh, we got to make sure you're out of the woods with that. And if I'm going to get another one done, they might have to give me a filter to prevent another one from happening. And a filter is something, I guess, that they go into your artery and do it. It's not fun.
You mean like a filter in your actual artery, like a Keurig little thing?
Probably like a stent or something.
Okay. To purify the blood.
I don't know, but I don't know. I just don't know. All I know is...
Have you been on a restricted diet for the last 24 hours to prepare for the procedure? Well, that's lucky.
No. I mean, I haven't eaten anything since last night, and I don't think I'm supposed to.
Right.
But it's also a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
I changed schedules on the guys twice because I thought first I was going to be able to do this show, and then I thought I was, and then we weren't because we were late. Hi, Pony.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you? How's life in the land of I don't communicate normally?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Great. Okay. Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate that. So anyway.
Now he replies.
So
yeah. But I think Pony's literally shrapnel in what was a grenade that we decided, Rob and I just unfortunately had dropped in the studio as we were moving around.
Right, right.
Right. The fact is that we're here. That's the important thing. And also, as we speak right now, I have a crew of, I believe, 1,000 people from a world not they don't appear to be new here.
All over the world.
Let me just say, if there was if there was that immigrant protest day, this wouldn't be happening. They're getting ready to actually do this massive,
Mike. Maybe
like,
that
four
is
four houses at one time painting job.
That might be the protest. That's at your house right now.
The protest is here.
Four houses at one time?
Yes.
They knocked, I think, I'm exaggerating.
Okay. They have rollers on both sides of the stick.
Look, there are smaller houses, so I feel like
they
just go around.
They might be two. They might do them two. They might do three. I'm not sure. But they blast them out, and man, those little professional-grade sprayers that they have.
Oh, yeah.
I could do it.
Yeah, I bought a sprayer mic for my house, thinking the same thing, and I bought it off QVC. And
there's your first good move.
Did it have a celebrity endorser?
It did. And I said, look at that lady. She painted that entire room in 15 minutes.
Oscar, your house, you could paint an entire house in 15 minutes with a watercolor
set. Well, that's what I thought. And then you start spraying and you're like,
oh, the fumes. Horrible,
and,
wretched fumes.
Even if you open the windows, you have to have a certain technique to that spray. You actually need to have some skill.
I think anything like that, I have known after many years on this planet that you need skill to do all handiwork. Some stuff I can pull off now that I wasn't able to pull off before. But the long and short of it is this is an unsettled day. I would be lying if I said if it was just coming back to do the show and tell you about the weekend up at the college where I saw my daughter on the show. It would be different. But it's all this crap going on. And so pardon me if I sound a little unsettled today.
He's
because I
French.
Just want to get this out of the way. And my wife doesn't come back until Wednesday.
What?
And
what? I thought that you would at least travel home together.
No. She's up there with her mom and she's coming back on Wednesday. She wanted a full week. And
that explains the empty wine shelves in all the stores.
But you know, other than that,
traveling alone blows. Unless you have a child, then you get kind of like a pass because it's a lot of work anyways, Mike. I've seen this.
I'll tease the later in the show. I did have a child. I had a 10-week-old infant.
Hey!
On the lap of the lady next to me.
Oh, that's a relative.
I'll tell that later. That's it's all good. There's nothing really overwhelmingly tragic that I can tell you other than that was my flight back. I will say this, that the JetBlue family... I like them. I like everything about this. Is the one thing I'll say about airlines. I like JetBlue. I like everything about JetBlue except for one thing.
What's that?
They have this great, well-oiled machine, and then when they land, they must take all their window lickers, excuse the expression.
It's fine.
And they put the. Do we have to edit that out? Probably.
No, I'm sure it's fine.
Show title,
Mike. You have no idea how JetBlue keeps those windows so clean.
The challenged individuals seem to run the gate.
Okay.
Because it's always a wait for the gate. You get a pilot that gets in there almost half an hour early, and you're sitting there, and the plane landed early. It's like it's a foreign concept to them. So that's the other thing.
They want to gain time back, and you don't realize that there's a process for leaving, an order of operations for leaving the airplane, and you can't run to the front, even if you have your bag. That's just not something that is possible.
My favorite person when you're deplaning is the guy that's in the maybe third to the last row, and he's got a window seat, and as soon as the seatbelt light goes off, he stands up at a right angle and waits, because he knows he's got to get out quick. And there's no way you can get out.
Mike, have you ever been to a greeting store and you see the big bear and then the little bear on the lap of the big stuffed animal, the big bear?
Yeah.
Like the exact same bear, but just a little.
Like Mama Bear and Papa Bear.
Yeah. No, or Mama Bear, Mama and Baby Bear.
Yeah.
I was on a flight this weekend that resembled that. Because there was a man that didn't want to be obese, and he didn't seem like he wanted to.
Hey, none of us do.
He actually needed the complex carbs in his life, and I sat down next to him, and the armrest couldn't be pulled down. He was that big. He was that large, and he was sitting in my seat.
We had one. I am pleased to say that I am not that guy yet. We had that guy, and he was traveling with his family. So I said, thank God he's with his family. That's where he will be sitting. If I would have cried if he had been in my row. Yeah. It just would not have been
I just did a lot of sweating on one side of my body as our bodies were touching each other the entire time. And I looked at him and I said, hey, really getting to know each other. Because I wanted to make him feel better, right? I wanted to make him feel better about
that's sort of
the experience.
Your whole personality, Oscar, is making people feel better.
Since I will forget if I don't bring it up right now, how goes the working out? How is that going?
I think we're doing well. We're both on pace.
Yes.
We go.
Well,
how
are you doing, Rob?
I'm down probably since we started.
You give him the big reveal now?
I could give him the big reveal.
I think it's motivating to keep us posted.
We started, and actually my sort of program began before Oscar and I started going to the gym, I'm down about 25, 26 pounds. I did not weigh this morning.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great news.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not enough, again, as you have said in the past, that's just a deck chair, but it's a step in the right direction, and I want to get under a certain number before revealing.
Yeah, we don't go to a douchey gym.
We go to a really nice gym.
Shall not name, because we pay full price.
Are you doing what kind of exercise?
Oh, we just walk.
We're just walking and talking, but you know what? We have gotten to a point now where the length of the walk at the end, I'm having a harder time talking because we're pushing a little harder.
But Rob, look, Rob's smart. He said, let's start. What do we start with?
Like 20 minutes.
20 minutes and at 35, you get to there, you're like, all right, I feel like I'm sweating now. Like we're getting somewhere, right?
That's and awesome. Eventually get to the elliptical, which is what I love, but I'm not sure that I'm up to that point yet again. I have
all right, we'll keep trucking. So, Rob 25 pounds ain't nothing to sneeze at. That's awesome.
Rob will not be the big teddy bear anymore.
No, I will be the little teddy bear. Yeah, people will be dying to sit next to me on a flight.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's it like to be able to walk? God. You should see. I will get to it.
See, the funny thing is, we see you like this, Mike, and then we see you in your pictures over the wonderful weekend, which I think I've liked a thousand of.
Sure.
No, I'm not ballooning. I just walk like a total gimp.
Yeah, but we don't get to see you actually mobile, like walking around, right?
Locomote.
It sucks.
So you look healthy to us.
It's terrible. I know I look healthy.
And you sound healthy.
I'm actually, outside of having a little cold, I'm doing fine. I gimp around, and then I got happy. And hop. Now listen, they warn you on the one that they repaired that you will have an occasional setback.
Sure.
And I decided to get happy because the right one felt okay that day and the left one seemed to be chugging around. And I did a little motorcycle and the motorcycle.
Uh-oh.
And God damn if it didn't tweak it a little bit. And so the left one was the one that was giving me the problems. And that's why I was gimping through the airport. But came free, even though I'm limping, I'm doing the thing and I'm moving around.
Don't you know that a cane would have gotten you on the plane faster, though?
Cane would have helped
pre-boarding.
It's a pre-boarding for you with special needs.
This is where I get. This is where it's like twisted, where the mind doesn't work well. I couldn't bring myself to use the cane for the left side. I couldn't do it. I refused to do it. That to me would have been giving up.
Failure.
Said, no,
that's not giving up. That's just as part of the procedure, man.
It sucks. The whole thing sucks. I'm so sick of the whole damn thing. But with being sick of it, I'm still doing it. I'm going to do it. This is going to be, I am committing to you that by the end of the summer, this is going to be, a lot of this crap is going to be in my rearview mirror.
Right.
And it's going to be rock and roll, for full speed ahead. That's what I'm going to do. But as for today, and I think Rob knows this, Oscar, I'm ready to punch a wall.
Yes.
And the only problem is Rob's face might be in front of the wall today. Thank you. Start that goddamn
show. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world,
Jiminy Glick. I recently interviewed the wonderful Pope Francis. He's a celibate who loves the tango. So apparently it only takes one to tango. Also, unlike his predecessor, he is a humble man. He's not wearing the fur-lined cape, except, of course, when he has Lady Gaga tickets. I also interviewed the wonderful Elton John. And I'll let you all in on a little show business secret. Gay. I also interviewed the late James Brown. Well, I didn't interview him, but we carpooled together to the women's shelter to pick up our wives. Let's be honest, celebrities are our touchstones to where was I and when. I think we all remember where we were when the Queen had Diana killed. I certainly know where I was. I was getting some polyps removed from my duodenum. And the doctor had just berated me because I'd forgotten to fast. Suddenly the head nurse came running and announced that the princess was gone. It felt like someone had taken a knife and plunged it deep into my gut. And then, of course, I realized the doctor was still in mid-procedure. But aren't you in wonderful shape for someone who's let himself go? And whatever cosmetic surgery you've had, I'd say 20% more and then I'd stop.
James Brown!
Ow! It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Fiverr Studios in Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air, the Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and radio show with an incredibly loyal following around the world. TMOS listeners get it. And if you're here, so do you. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673 or MikeO'MaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lyft. If you're not using Lyft, you're making a horrible mistake. I was almost bummed because part of my trip was in the nation's capital,
right,
and I rented a car, and renting a car is such a total hassle that I wish I'd had Lyft. Really, if you have the choice and it's a like an evening or you're just going out, use Lyft, because Lyft is fantastic. It's the best way to get safely from here to there. I love using Lyft. It's the app that gets you a ride in minutes, on demand, 24/7. You're going to love it. Just download the app. You request a driver. You can watch it on your smartphone. They show up an average of 3.5 minutes later, and they're all great. I have had probably 15 Lyft rides in my Lyft career, and I have had the most wonderful conversations with the Lyft drivers because they're great. They really are. And Lyft also lets you tip within the app, which I'm glad they do because it makes for better drivers. Lyft isn't the biggest ride sharing app, but it is the highest rated, and it's the fastest growing one. This is quality over quantity. I think we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
No drunk driving, no more bumming rides, and you never have to park. Lyft is the best. Right now, Lyft has an amazing offer just for our listeners. 3 free rides, that's up to a $30 value. When you enter promo code TMOS, just download the free Lyft app today and use the promo code in the payment section. Boom, bam. 3 free rides up to $10 each, up to a $30 value. Just remember our promo code TMOS. Well, a wonderful, wonderful weekend up in the University of Mary Washington. Boy, it was fun.
You must be busting at the seams.
It was great. It was great to see both Elizabeth and Catherine this weekend. Carla got to join us on Friday night to see the lovely show. It was really just a great, great experience.
So the show opened actually Thursday night, so you saw the Friday night show. And
yeah,
sometimes that's better because opening night, nerves, right?
Well, I'll get to it. It's kind of like interesting how the performances were. It's not something I did in my college career, but I will tell you, excuse me for that. I will tell you that it is really it's really cool to see a show that you know well, and I've
right.
seen that movie, Steel Magnolias. Nothing like the movie, by the way, the stage show. But my daughter was Shelby, the young girl, the Julia Roberts character in Steel Magnolias, and I flew up on Friday to see her. And met with Elizabeth and also with Carla, and we all went out. We all caught the show on Friday night, and it's really a terrific theater operation they have at the University of Mary Washington. They've got a beautiful, beautiful set and a beautiful stage, and it was fun. It was great to see everybody. I landed at about 1:30 on Friday afternoon and immediately grabbed the rental car, and this is where I'd like to discuss, before we get to the whole stage show, which was great. It was fine. It was good. I have to tell you about what appear to be a series of senior moments that I've had.
Oh, dear.
That I'm really starting to get a little freaked out about. The first one, Carl and I were traveling, I think that weekend that we took the wonderful weekend and we went to the Bahamas.
Right.
And I had I was walking with my kid and my wife, and I had my computer bag with me. And I just left it at this gift shop where we were getting gum and a newspaper. And I just left it. And I ran all the way back to security. They didn't have it. Ran back to Carla. Carla said, "Did you check the gift shop?" Ran back to the gift shop, and they had it. That was the first time. I'm getting a little paranoid about forgetfulness when I travel. This could be the future right now with my many maladies, where you will just see me completely and utterly
well,
lose
you
it.
Have a history of leaving some things behind, but oftentimes I think that's fueled by eagerness to move on.
I love to leave.
Yeah,
love
you really
to
do
get
love to
the
get
hell out.
And I don't think that like was ever linger. Forgetfulness. That was just
right.
urgency.
Yeah, right. Urgency doesn't equal dementia.
No.
But I don't know yet, because it's when it starts to stack up, and I was actually paranoid about it, and on the way up, it's a really JetBlue, great flights,
yep,
wonderful flights, on time, everything was cool, nothing to tell you about that. I get to the rental car place, and this is where the Ronald Reagan National Airport, I think that they've got, hi, how you doing? Another late arrival? Another late arrival to the world.
Trickles down.
Yes, it does. That's right. Mm. We're like that general that just got nominated.
Mike, if someone's late, I think it's best that they don't walk around the studio looking for things.
Yeah, I think
it's good protocol. Yeah, maybe not wear a beanie that looks neon and distracts the host.
Yeah, everybody late today. Well, Oscar and I, we're going to figure it out.
Yes.
We're going to figure it out.
I will get yelled at later, and like, properly so.
No, you're not going to.
So I can get yelled at, and then affect change, Mike. We're going to affect change here.
We will have a meeting on how to affect change.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And change will be
affected. Step into my office, because you're effing fired.
Anyway, so...
now it's a little uncomfortable in here.
The airport is okay. It's still one of the older airports, so it's kind of like LaGuardia, but not as bad. But it's older, and they've tweaked it a little bit, but they need to tweak it more. And now the parking garages that...
This is your Florida airport?
This is the airport. No, Florida airport rocks.
I know. Yeah, I was going to say, you love that airport.
Florida airport is just easy peasy, and you know, this is the calm before all the people get here.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now it's very cool. National airport is great until you get to these little parking structures, and I guess they're having trouble with their elevators. So you go to the rental car place, and it's on floor one, and then you wait for the hour and a half to get to the elevator to take you up to the third floor, and that's where they have their cars. Right. For my rental car company, which I now use because it's cheaper. I'll give them a plug, even though they can give me anything for nothing. I like Alamo. I'm a
Alamo.
Fan of Alamo.
That you can remember.
Because the people, I remember that because the people are very nice.
Yeah.
And what I'm carrying with me is what follows. I am carrying a carry-on bag that I actually check because I have a backpack that has all my breathing apparatus in it, and I put that in, and then I take a computer bag. And the I don't count it as that because you can put them in a bag, but I also have the headphones that are kind of clunky, but that's everything I have.
But you know what? The breathing apparatus, since it is technically a medical piece of equipment, they're not allowed to count that as a carry-on.
Really?
Really. Yeah, you're allowed to carry that on because that's a medical necessity.
So I would be able to take that and the carry-on and not have to wait for luggage?
Yeah, I believe so.
But you know what? To be honest with you, dragging two things through the airport,
I
don't dig it. So I actually don't mind. And really, to be honest, I knock on wood, don't want to get happy. Baggage claim and baggage pickup has been okay on this particular
airline. And you allot for that time. If you don't have time, you can allot for that time.
I was fine with it. Yeah. I knew that I'd be hitting traffic. We'll get to that later. In D.C. Oh, you people. Our friends in Washington, D.C. I want to tell you that my heart deeply goes out to all of you.
You don't miss it?
Oh, God almighty. So I get to the Alamo car, and I see the lady, and they're just like they were when I was up in Boston visiting my family, where they go, you're in this row, honey. Pick whatever you want. I said, oh, wow, that's cool. And they're just fun, and they're nice.
Right.
And I said, how about that Chevy Impala over there? And they're like, yeah, honey, that's fine. That just came in. We got it all cleaned up just for you. And I'm like going, oh, that's cool. It's fun.
Does that qualify as a full size or a luxury car in there?
It's a full size.
A full size,
I think it's a full size. And so it's. I don't think a Impala Chevy would be a luxury
car. Yeah, but you see, the rental car people tend to round up.
Yeah, they do.
Cars.
They do. Yeah. Well, I got in early and made some arrangements, and I was okay with the way everything. And I got in, and I put my luggage in the back, and I put my computer bag, and I thought my phone in the front seat. And then I went around back, and I took my sport coat off, and I hung it in the back seat.
Yep.
And then I get back in, and as I get back in, I reach for my phone because I want to put my directions to the school in the little nav, even though I generally know where I'm going, but I don't know where the hotel is. And nothing. I can't find it. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know where it is. I'm totally freaking out.
You can't find your phone?
Can't find the phone. I look to the. I thought it was on the seat next to the computer. I look, and then I start to panic. Then I go back to the jacket again. I reach into the jacket, and I reach. Nothing in there. Then I go. I'm in full panic mode. I walk over to the little kiosk. I said, "Can you call down to the because I know I looked at my phone when I was checking in for my rental car. Can you call down to the third floor, the first floor, and let them know that see if they found a phone?" And they apparently this is where the breakdown occurs. Kind of like the way we started the show today. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, they didn't know who to, you know, the person that was there that knew who to call didn't have the information. So I said, would it be better if I just went down there? And that's a 20-minute procedure because you're waiting for the elevator to come up. And I actually hit the stairs with my gimpy. I hit the stairs. At this point, the perspiration is coming out. I get there. And by the time I finally get to the counter, no phone. Now, I've been real lucky with, like, finding stuff. Hold on. I'm going to sneeze. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I apologize. All right.
Big sneeze.
Because you remember.
Get it out. Get the evil out.
So I get there. No phone. That's when the panic really starts to set in. At this point, I'm not going to hoof up to the third floor again. I'm going to wait for the elevator at National Airport. I shoot out there. The lady goes, "You find that phone?" I said, "No." The lady is so cool at Alamo, she actually follows me over to the car. And I'm searching. And then... then she suggests what Carla said she would have suggested from the very beginning. Do you want me to call it for you?
I said,
that would be wonderful.
Man.
So I give her my phone number, and then I hear this. I hear. And it is so faint that I know. I said, that's my phone. And I think that's my phone that's ringing. I hear. I look in the back seat. I look in the front. I cannot locate it by sound. I am sitting there going, "I can't locate the phone by sound. I don't know." And I'm feeling.
Yes.
There's something there.
Against my better judgment, I'm feeling optimistic. I said, "Can you call it again?" And she calls again. And I'm like, and she goes, "Wait a minute. I think I see a glow." And it is wedged down on the right side of the front seat in such a, and by the way, it is wedged in such a way that not only is it literally wedged, but you can hardly see the light, and the speaker that is making the is covered by that, but I see it. I see the phone, and then
there's no better feeling. But you know, they should seal that somehow.
Yes,
because I've lost a phone there 1,000 times.
They sell a little apparatus aftermarket.
Oh, do they?
That catches all that nonsense.
So the thing that's cool is after this, I take the phone. I've got it, and I walked over to the lady, and we made love on the trunk of the car.
Euphoria.
She said, "Thank you, honey." I said, "Thank you."
Euphoria.
She looked like Sherry Shepherd. She was lovely. She was beautiful.
Then
beautiful.
You were making love, did the phone get wedged anywhere?
Between two pillows.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and I'll tell you about more fun and more thrills in the fabulous D.C. Metro. Always a pleasure.
Hola, guten tag, and welcome to TMOS for Foreigners, a regular remedial series for new listeners from out of town. Lesson 43. Repeat after me. The Desert Inn has heart. Does it open up into a larger suite? I'll go back inside. If you find a way to make $800 last a lifetime, knock on the door, I'll be in there. Remember to practice these important phrases with your compadres, and keep listening to the Mike O'Mara Show every day on your flip phone or local library computer box. And happy vetting from TMOS.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring for your business doesn't have to stress you out. In fact, it can be easy to find the perfect job candidates if you know what you're doing. Called technology, folks, and that's what people with ZipRecruiter do. It's ZipRecruiter.com. If you want to find the perfect hire, all you have to do is post your job on all the top job sites and do it with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including all the big social media networks, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or annoying calls to your office. Quickly scroll screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium businesses. I love ZipRecruiter.com, and you will too. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter absolutely free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS and find your perfect hire. ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. We love it. You're going to love it. And do it today.
News.
That's right. Shaking things up a bit on the old Tuesday.
I like this
get-together.
Show's flown by.
All right, here we go. Angelina Jolie isn't just a UN Goodwill ambassador in name only. She goes deep and gets her hands dirty. I saw this video. It was great. Right now, she's in Cambodia, and she brought four of her kids, 15-year-old Maddox, 10-year-old Shiloh, and 8-year-old twins Knox and Vivian. The BBC is documenting their visit, and as a part of their education, she had them eat bugs.
I thought they were there for Disney Cambodia.
Disney Cambodia.
It's not a functioning theme park.
Behind production schedule. They're actually behind the construction schedule on that Oscar. Unfortunately. Listen, the bugs were properly cooked. Here's what they ate. They ate crickets, tarantulas, scorpions, and other critters. Nobody really minded. In fact, Knox said they tasted like dry, flavorless chips. No word on what Shiloh and Vivian said, or Sea Spray, or Tito, or any of the other
so
kids.
So much for a Bug's
Scott
Life too.
Or Todd or
but isn't it nice that she's eaten. Moving on from the terrible relationship and that great...
Mike, why not leave the country and do some good?
But it seems that if you really want to be classified as the good parent, buy him a hot dog. Yes, you know, not so much a bug.
What about some stability?
Yeah, a little
it's
something.
Worldly. She's making those children worldly.
Oh, no, I stand by doing. Taking your kid to a third world country at a younger age so they can appreciate and remember. Then not all roads are paved.
That's true.
That's true. Absolutely. And we wish you the very best of luck. You may not have known this, but Matt LeBlanc hosts a British car show called Top Gear. Do you watch
yes.
that Matt LeBlanc?
Yeah,
show?
Not the same. Not the same. Not the same vibe as the Top Gear, the UK version.
Right.
That was with the old crew that I now watch. They've got a new show. It's a Gran Turismo or something like that.
Right.
On Amazon Prime. That crew's back on demand. But yeah, Matt LeBlanc is fine. It's kind of wild to actually get into it with him on that side.
Well, it sounds like they do more than just drive around. In an episode that airs March 5th on the BBC, Matt and his co-hosts Chris Harris and Rory Reed drive cars in Kazakhstan.
Hey,
that might be funny.
I still
that's
laugh.
A good that poor, car.
That poor country, because of Borat, that yes. you will never hear Kazakhstan. My brother Bilo, he's a yalala. And then they taste some local cuisine. And in Matt's case, this is just seems to be the food news today.
Yeah.
In Matt's case, what they tried was horse penis.
Oh.
My brother Bilo cooked the horse penis for you. You say you don't like it.
Is it fertility meat?
That's well, they, that was, we yeah. had the story last week yeah. that someone tried to sneak it into the country yeah. for fertility. Yeah.
I don't know, but apparently Matt couldn't finish it. Harris says, quote, I saw Matt try and eat part of a horse that was used in some sort of reproductive process.
Okay. That's a how you a doing?
Way, what a clever way to say it. But apparently he gave up on it and he didn't eat the rest of it.
If you get a taste of anything and then you bail, that's fine. Like, I get yeah, that. Like, yeah. you don't have
well,
to you know, swallow.
Well, yeah, well, maybe, really, so to speak.
Maybe meat is meat. That's yeah. the way I look at it.
So yeah. maybe it wasn't the fact. Maybe it was the fact that he didn't like the flavor, as opposed to the fact that it was horse penis. He didn't yeah. like the sauce. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you can eat heart, tongue, organs, stuff like that.
The only thing that doesn't taste like chicken is kidneys. Those are
kidneys
gross.
To have a kidneys. are, yeah, yeah. We grew up with lamb kidneys at like Easter and stuff. It's like, here, try these, and my dad always like put a toothpick for them.
Kidneys tend to taste like all the stuff they filter out.
Pretty nasty. yeah. President Trump played golf Sunday with pro Rory McIlroy and former Yankee Paul O'Neill. At first, the White House said they only played a few holes, but when word got out that they played a full round, the White House said, quote, he intended to play a few holes and decided to play longer. I listen, you can bust the president all you want, but if I'm playing with Rory McIlroy,
yeah, you're gonna spread it out.
You can't hit
pause. And I can get 18 in before I have to go back. Look, I disagree with Trump. If you're out on a golf course and you're playing with a pro and it's a beautiful day, I mean, okay? Look, presidents play golf, all right? Yeah. I know that, and by the way, I know that Trump busted, but we have to get to a certain point where I will join in with everybody that wants to bust balls for the right reason. I really, right. really will. I will not bust balls for the wrong reason. And the fact that, yes, Trump tweeted about Obama playing golf, they all bust each other's balls about playing golf, but then they all play golf, okay? That's one that they all do.
Yeah.
And golf is golf. It's
especially
fun.
When you own golf courses.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's fun.
Probably it's fun. Into golfing.
Yeah. You know, maybe he'll be in a, you know, if he's out there playing golf, he's in a better mood and he won't do something stupid. That's the way I look at it. After a disastrous performance Saturday night in L.A., David Cassidy is laying some heavy news on us. He's battling dementia. Okay, I've got some thoughts on this.
Okay, good.
I don't want to be mean. He told People magazine that his grandfather and his mother had it, and quote, I was in denial, but a part of me always knew this was coming. Cassidy is 66, and he is indeed going to stop touring to concentrate on what's important. He said, quote, I want to focus on what I am, who I am, and how I've been without any distractions. I want to love, I want to enjoy life. David's Partridge Family co-star Danny Bonaduce tweeted, David Cassidy once had a bigger fan club than Elvis and the Beatles. If you're a fan, now is a great time to send him your love and best wishes. Okay, I'm all for that if that happens to be true, but that doesn't. If he's coming out with this statement now because he fell off the stage because he was drunk at a performance, which I watched the entire tape of this because I'm not a fan of David Cassidy, but I think it's interesting. And that man was S-housed. I mean, S-housed. So, look, if you have dementia, what I saw on that stage was not related to dementia.
No, it's alcohol.
What I saw on that stage was related to probably a fifth of bourbon.
Yeah,
that's what I saw
agree.
On that stage.
I've had dementia in my family, and I've had alcoholics in my family. I can recognize the symptoms both ways.
There's a difference between the two, and we'll see. And if he's really got that issue, you know, I left my phone in the car. You know, I didn't mention that I lost my phone on the way back too.
My
phone on the way. Yeah, I was sitting there. I got there super early. I was at gate 26. I moved over to gate 28 where I could watch the plane come in.
Yeah.
And then when I was done, I got up and I zipped over. And then I heard a page. And I'll get to it in the next break. I'm sorry. It requires an
At least it wasn't in the.
I just realized how bad it was.
It wasn't in the river by the casino, Mike.
I'm so scattered. Yeah. See, there's
it's
a pattern
it's
here.
It's a phone.
Yeah, it is a phone.
Bad luck.
There's an 18-year-old kid named Connor Cox, who probably has been to the Whitehall Inn for some fruit fritters. He's a freshman at Westminster College in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania. And a few weeks ago, he got a care package from his mom. But when he up, shut up, Frankie!
That's my favorite.
When he opened it up, all he found inside was a bunch of trash. And not just any trash. It was the trash he was supposed to take out back when he was at home for winter break. But he forgot. Connor posted a picture of the box of garbage on Twitter, and now it's going viral. It was funny. And it wasn't, like, gross. It was just... It was this tiny little bit of garbage that his mom sent. I thought it was hysterical.
That's pretty funny.
That's fun.
That's a great mom thing in her mom jeans. And now a little something, everybody. Is it dangerous to drive with a small animal crawling around on your body? Believe it or not, that scenario just came up. The police in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, just pulled a guy over and gave him a distracted driving ticket for driving with a live ferret around his neck.
Pony.
Pony.
Anyway, we don't have any more details than that. But you know, if you have a ferret, maybe you leave him at home when you go on road trips. This never happens when Pony drives with the sugar gliders because he always keeps them in his pants.
Yeah. It's warm there.
They like licking.
We'll take it. We'll take a break. You're good at that. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun. More
with beginnings.
This week on Americast, Mark and the guys sample ice cream on TMOS.
There's a heavily medicated cake and cookies.
And Rob and Joe salute their favorite listeners. Marcus Serna has the highlights from this week and more broadcasting, along with a guy that sounds a lot like me.
Society's darling, the favorite of crowned heads, a triumph in every fraternal convention.
Download it today at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Big fun for the entire family.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the better way to cook. It just makes sense. Better ingredients always make better food. Blue Apron only uses the highest quality standards, and you can taste the difference. It's the best. And because they ship the perfect amounts, you don't waste food. You never waste food. Even better, it costs less than $10 a meal. Imagine perfectly pre-portioned ingredients that make delicious home-cooked meals in 40 minutes or less. Carl and I are addicted to Blue Apron. You will be too. And you learn how to cook. That's another thing that's fantastic about Blue Apron. Good stuff like tango mandarins and jasmine rice, crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad, and udon noodle soup with miso and soft-boiled eggs. It sure beats the same old, same old. It's really great food. You're going to love it. Yes.
I love them simply because, you know, my palate isn't as refined as you gentlemen. And
you probably, when you heard it described, you would probably say, what is that? And you wouldn't try it. When you try it with Blue Apron, everything's delicious.
It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. I love it.
Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Yeah, when I started the show, I completely and utterly forgot the fact that I was having my senior moment again. I did it again on the way back, and it was even worse on the way back. Let me take you through the process. This is after losing the phone when I got to the rental car. On my way back to Fort Myers, Florida, I was sitting there, and I got to the airport super early. I got up early. I took my shower. I got my rental car, checked in. Everything's fine, and I'm really a little paranoid at this point about remembering everything with all the moving parts.
Sure.
And also, this might have a little bit to do with traveling solo, which I don't do that much anymore, and probably never have, really. And so I wanted to make sure everything was right. I go to the airport. I actually sit down. I have huevos rancheros at the fabulous National Airport.
That means ranchers' really eggs, Mike.
Just delish.
Yes.
No, they weren't. They were.
Really?
They were passable.
It's, you know, continental, it's still DC. Breakfast eggs.
By the way, D.C., hotels in D.C. and the airport in D.C., it's a city of deprivation, in my humble opinion. It truly is. You know? I mean, really, you know, I checked in my hotel. It's frustrating for me that I have to check out of one hotel that's in Northern Virginia. I guess Fredericksburg is not technically Northern Virginia, but it's right.
It's
still a bedroom community of
Washington,
D.C.
It's awfully close now. I think it really does spill down,
right?
There. Yeah, yeah, it does.
It's frustrating to me that when I have an 8:50 flight on President's Day, that I actually have to leave my hotel and check into another hotel Sunday night. Otherwise, I might miss my flight because it could be 4 hours to get up to D.C. That sucks right there. Then what also sucks is to check into what I thought was a shishi hotel that I got like an Econo Lodge rate on, and I said, this is fantastic. And they put a sheet out because they don't have any food served in the hotel, and they said, but you can join us in the lounge for these small plates. I said, well, do I look like I subsist on a small plate?
No.
So I limp out to the worst pizza place in the world. I grab a little piece of pie.
Is that the name of it?
And then I came back. Worst pizza place in the world.
Delicious.
You know? I mean, it's just, you know, look, I'm not with my family. I'm leaving, and it's fine. I had a great weekend with my daughters. But, you know, it's just I was perceiving the city of Washington hasn't changed in that.
No.
It ain't all that great a town to go out in on a Friday and Saturday night because everybody lives in the burbs.
Right.
And it ain't all that great in the hotels because they don't offer the same stuff that you would get Las Vegas. Am I unreasonable for wanting what you would get in Las Vegas and New Orleans?
Yeah. Look, as a gentleman who does go out on Friday and Saturday usually.
Yes.
So thank you. You got to
cosmopolitan.
You got to make plans. And the usual staples for a man like you, Mike, probably aren't the same because the restaurant scene has changed so much that unless you know about a restaurant, you have to put your, I mean, maybe you don't, but I have to find like a reservation right. 2.5 weeks ahead of time.
Sure. And then, you know.
By the way, I'm riding my microphone right now because if I leave it open, you're going to hear this. No, you can't hear it now. Okay, good. They stopped. They're cleaning. They're washing the house.
On Sunday night, I was in Old Town Alexandria, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C.,
yes.
as technically my hometown is. Leesburg.
Right. Historic.
75 minutes to get there. And you know what? 75 minutes is ridiculous to get to one suburb to another. That's why people stay at home and drink.
And I just think when you stay at a nice hotel, you get the 24-hour RS, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Especially if you've got a restaurant in the hotel,
sure.
which they did. And it's like, no, they cop out on that, and I think it sucks. I think it's part of the thing about being in a goddamn hotel. And so, you know, I want to get myself – I limp over to, you know, what was the name of the pizza place?
WWPJ, wasn't it?
Oh. Ah.
Now, to the best of my knowledge.
On Wisconsin?
People from, P Street.
P Street.
From this area, people don't make pizza. But anyway, it was
Mike, fun. You've walked in a lot of Latin joints, and they make everything.
They
sure.
You know?
This was not Latin.
The recipes.
It's not Latin Oscar.
There is a
not
pizza that, place that has Latin that music. Same vibe when you walk yep. in, and you can either, you know, basically get a falafel or a solid yep. pepperoni pizza. Yep.
Maybe they bought. They might have bought the place as is, and they were scared right. to mess with a successful formula.
Well, there was one. There was another one across the street. Which was the metrosexual pizza parlor?
Oh,
where
ah.
all the kids were out on the street, and I just didn't want sure. anything to do with yeah. that. I wanted to limp home. With
that's what is it? The 90-degree pizza?
Millennials.
Yeah, that they make quickly and they're skinny and expensive.
Yeah, that's great. But I digress because the whole thing was frustrating to get to have to do that just to make a flight. But the good news is easy peasy in the morning where I leave at 6:30, 6:45 I get there. And, no, I'm sorry, 7:45 I get there. And, no, that's right, about 7 o'clock I
where's your phone?
At the airport. I'm sorry, I need my phone. Got the car checked in, got there early enough to sit down and have a little brekkie. And then I said, I'll just go over and sit at Gate 28 where I get a nice view of Gate 26.
Sure.
And I can actually watch the plane arrive.
You like eyeballing the plane.
Where it's coming
yeah.
in from. And it was just fine. It was great. I've got this little, head cold that I'm dealing with. And so I got my little TCUs and I'm in my little world. Nobody's near me. It's perfect. I like this. This is great. And then slowly I watch the plane come into the gate. And I'm like, okay, now I'll get up and I'll casually walk over there. It's running a little bit late, but everything should be fine. And as I walk over there, I sit down in another seat at my regular gate and I hear,
Concourse C, Concourse C, we have a cell phone lost at Concourse C.
Now, it hadn't even entered my mind.
That's the saddest part of the story, that they found out you were missing your cell phone before you did.
Well, hold on, the story continues, because I sit there and I go, and I'm like, oh God, not again. Oh God, not again.
No.
And I realize I don't have my phone. This is when, ass out of you, out of me, I make the assumption. This is where the dementia part comes
in. Yes.
I walk up to the lady at the JetBlue gate. I said, where is this information desk? She said, oh, you have to, by the way, the plane boards at 8:15. It is 8:15.
Okay.
And the plane leaves at 8:50. She says, oh, you have to... you have to leave the concourse. It's out on the main ramp.
Oh, no.
So this is when I go.
My
you know,
God.
I had said to myself, this is going to be one of those trips where I actually chill out and I don't do any real sprinting because I've gotten there on time.
No jean shorts.
And so I bust ass out there, and then the question happens. Everybody at the fabulous National Airport, nobody knows where the information desk is. They can page people and say that's where. And I walk 200 yards down to the left where I was told to go. Then I see somebody says, this is the information desk for Concourse B. And I walk all the way back and I say at security, I said, can you tell me where the information desk is? He goes,
I
I hoof it over there, and it is towards the end of Concourse C, which is far away. And I walk over. Yeah, we just had it picked up. It was a white cell phone. I'm like, oh, that's not mine. I beat ass through security again. I sit there and I go, oh my God. At this point, it looks like I've been dipped in a pool.
Yeah, I bet.
Because the sweat is pouring off of my body. I say, well, I might as well first check where I was sitting at gate 28, and then I will check the restaurant and see what's going on. I go to gate 28. There it is on the seat next to me where it didn't belong. Sitting there, I pick it up. I'm completely relieved. I casually, at this point, it's 8:30. I'm doing fine.
All the time in the world.
I'm fine. They haven't even called my row yet because they board my row last, which is another great convenience. So I sit there. This is no S. I am waiting casually. The sweat is beginning to slow a little bit.
Is there a Mike O'Mara? Mike O'Mara, please report to security.
Oh,
Mike O'Mara, please
God.
Report to security.
Somehow, when I came through the security the second time, I had left my ID in the little box. So this is when I said to myself, I have senior moments. I don't think Carla even knows this. I haven't had time to tell Carla this because she's up at her mother's house. But that's what happened to me. I'm such a complete and total.
Again, I don't want to say it's dementia. I want to believe it's that Carla's not there to say, do you have everything?
Yeah.
Do you have your wallet? Because you're so used to traveling with her.
I think, you know, traveling.
If you've got a team system, Mike, it's a team system, right?
But this is also right on the heels of Friday's show where you claimed you were wearing only boxers because it was a laundry convenience. Did you forget to wear pants on Friday?
No, I was fine wearing
pants.
Okay,
that's good. Well, that's something anyway.
And then I sat down on the plane, and as I'm coming up to row 6, they have pre-boarded a woman with a 10-week-old baby. And at that point, I put my stuff above, and I asked her, and it's a hassle for a woman with a 10-week-old to have to get up. But she had to get up, and I felt bad about it, and I said, it is my goal to be that guy, that cool guy, that guy that will hold the baby if you need to, that will be helpful,
really nice.
That will be very cool to tell her, hey, if there's anything you need. So I said to her, if there's anything you need, please let me know. She said, I just hope he doesn't cry. I said, if he cries, he's a baby. That's what babies do.
You know.
Do not
yeah,
sweat
you've been
that.
There.
Well, no, I've been. People are such a-holes on planes that when you are a parent, especially with a small child, you feel like the world is out to get you.
Yeah.
And if you can get somebody, because I've had that happen too, if you can get somebody that's going to be nice and accommodating, it's great. So maybe because the gods were smiling at me right before the takeoff, the 75-year-old flight attendant for JetBlue comes down and says, excuse me, we have an entire row in the back seat, in the very back. You could lay the baby down if you'd be more comfortable. And even though I wanted to be the cool, nice guy, in my head I'm here, oh, well, I'm going to miss the company. But inside I'm going, thank you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for letting me not have to sit next to the baby. And so the plane got airborne, smooth flight. They took the lady back. I had me the whole row.
Whoa.
That's nice.
Big
it was great.
Win.
And by the way, on an Embraer, a Brazilian 190E or whatever it's called, you get into the plane. This is what it sounds like. That's everybody. That's a long, you know, it's a 2.5-hour flight. But the plane was early. It was great. The play was fantastic. My daughter was in Steel Magnolias, as I mentioned, as Shelby. Day one, night one of the show, I lost it. Night two, I was in control. Night one of the show.
How did you lose it? In what way? And how did you manifest it?
The girl that plays her mother is also a girl, the lovely girl named Gwen, who is Catherine's roommate. They both got leads in this show. Incredibly talented young lady. And she plays the mother. Catherine is not in the last scene. Catherine is deceased in the last scene. And so the character of her mother, Malin, played by beautifully by Gwen Levy, did a great job, gives a speech about how angry she is that she's missing her daughter. And she does it so underplayed and so well. And I've got this cold to start with. And I am sitting there and I begin to... I'm like someone squeezing a sponge because fluid begins to come out of everywhere. Fluid begins to come out of my eyes.
Yes.
And then the best way I can describe how emotional I'm getting like Viola Davis in in the movies she's been in, right?
Yeah.
Where she snots.
Yeah.
Snotting. Yeah.
So I'm snotting and crying, and then I begin to sweat as well. It's a little warm theater. You know how it is this time of year in D.C.? You get great strings of wonderful warm weather, but nobody knows how to regulate a building with it.
Well, they turn the heat on in November, and they turn it off in April. And so when it's 70 degrees outside, the theater is a convection oven.
So all I'm saying is please let the scene go on longer so I can gather myself. It was so bad on Friday night.
the nasal release is bad.
It's just like I thought of my mom. I went there and made it 10 times as bad. We go out and wait for her afterwards, and I meet all the cast, and I meet like her friends that she introduces me to. And they said, "How do you like the show?" And I show them my eyes. I said, "Well, I may have gotten a bit emotional. I don't think you can tell." And I took my glasses off, and they all went, "Jesus, look at that!" But it was, you know, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment, and you know, I had a great time. Who doesn't want to see their kid in a show like this? And what I loved more is to see her friends coming to the show and sitting in the row and supporting her.
That's
cool. Got a chance to, let's see, if you're counting the little din-dins, I got to take Elizabeth out with Carla. Oh, that's another thing. We screwed up the start time of the show. We took Elizabeth out to this restaurant, and we said, okay, we got a 6:30 reservation. That's a... Can you hear that?
I can hear that. Is that the painters?
This is like, really, I'm holding it together. Everything's going to be fine, but I'm really looking forward to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went out and we're sitting there, and Elizabeth says, "Okay, what time's the show start, Dad?" I said, "Well, it's a theater show. It starts at 8:00. "No, Dad, I think it starts at 7:30. What?
Oh, no.
It's another Alzheimer's moment.
Sure,
but that was just thoughtless. Where I had a lot
just
of those. Attention
to detail.
I had a lot of those. That's why coming in today was so special. I really freaked out, and we made it to the theater. Then I had, on Saturday, I had a lovely day with my daughters walking around. I don't get that very often, and I was with them and just meeting their friends and hanging out with them and then eating bad food. It was just, it was awesome. And then, you know, it was great. And then we ended up going out after the show to this, like, college little hang. And it was awesome. I dropped him off, and I saw the next day. I had brunch with him, and we were on our way.
I love incredible
brunch, by the way. If you're in Fredericksburg, go to a restaurant called Mason Dixon. You have to wait like an hour in line, but it's worth it. And they all come over and they're, "Well, hello, look at our Confederate flag." No, it's not like that.
Not like that at all.
It's like old dive 50s building that's fantastic.
Both of your daughters are great, but I think of the two of them, I enjoy talking to Elizabeth more. I think her sense of humor is very much in line with yours.
Yes.
When I think of her seeing you totally losing it, crying at the theater, was she
really
emotional?
I was next to her, and I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't going, "Ah."
Okay,
you kept it together. Okay. I got old ladies in back of me. They're all going, you know, it's a sad show.
I just wanted to make sure that your daughter didn't make a mockery of you.
No, she didn't mock me.
That's good.
They pat me on the back and go, "Oh, Dad. You know,
sure.
You're such a fat embarrassment, Dad."
You forgot your phone, Dad. It's right there.
Phone's in the theater. How did the phone get on the set?
It was on me, the 7:30 start. It's a long show.
Who left their phone on stage?
That's right.
It's got an intermission, too, so it's a bit of a long show.
How long to go? 2.5?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah.
It's a long show. And the only thing I would tell you is that Friday night is senior night, and there are lots of old people. Found them up here, too. So I found them in Fredericksburg. And there, I think we've all smelled it. There's old man smell that is really over the top.
I got
the worst old man smell. It was this guy. He was probably not that old as far as old man. I consider old to be like 80.
Sure.
He was probably 68 to 70. And when I walked by him, he had that sweater with the little fuzz balls on it.
Oh, the pills.
And we're walking down. And I said, "Okay, our seat's right over here. I think it's a..." Oh, God. Yeah. He just...
Smells like a lot like,
you know,
ear.
If you smell like a thrift store, it's time
nasty.
To wash or throw away that garment.
Yeah, you should have gone up to him and said, "Hey, did you get a great deal on that sweater?" Yeah.
He smelled actually like a Civil War antique store where a sugar glider had on the floor.
Oh, that's awfully specific.
I think I've been there.
Listen, that's it. I'll come back. I'm going to come back and tell you about a sleep number, and then I'm going to take a leave. So we'll take a break right now.
Woo!
And when we come back, more fun and more thrills. You guys can chat a little bit amongst yourselves.
Yes.
And Rob's got his crazy little sounds, and I'm going to go get a IV put in mine.
Thank you, Mike.
Super,
good luck.
Super Tuesday. We'll be right back. I'll come back and tell you about sleep number in a second. I
can't get enough of you. Hey, if you guys would love to see us, Rob and Joe, perform stand-up comedy, we have a great deal for you.
That's right. Go to the Rob and Joe Show webpage, robandjoeshow.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner.
And type in the promo code Mermelstein. We'll see you soon. robandjoeshow.com, the TMOS app, and of course, subscribe on iTunes.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's that time of year. You may be tempted to visit the same old mattress store in search of the same old bed. Please do not do this. Simply, if you want something that's going to last a lifetime, if you want to really, really have a bed that you can count on, come to the Sleep Number store and discover the bed that adjusts to every curve and contour of your body and lasts and lasts and never change. I went through so many beds in my lifetime because you would always have to rotate them, turn them over, do that. You don't have to do that with a Sleep Number. It's my bed, the amazing Sleep Number bed. Right now, during the Ultimate Sleep Number event, you can save 50% on their innovative limited edition bed. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort on each side, so it's the perfect bed for couples. And with optional Sleep IQ technology inside, it tracks your sleep and gives you personal insights. You see how life affects your sleep and how sleep affects your life. Sleep Number has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power for 2 years in a row. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. And last night, my Sleep Number IQ score, the Sleep IQ score, was 95. I feel great. There's never been a better time to visit a Sleep Number store. Save 50% on a limited edition bed during the Ultimate Sleep Number event. Plus, Queen C2 mattresses are now only $599.99. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you by calling 800-511-0061 and be sure to tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. I'll turn it over to Rob and Oscar, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Do good, Mike. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck.
So I wanted to say thank you to you, Oscar.
Yes.
For hooking me up with the Art League in Alexandria.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Thank you to Rob Spiewak, the Art League in Alexandria. An event that I've done, this would have been my fourth year.
Has it been that many years?
Yes. And I could not make it this year because I had a wedding to go to.
It really troubled you.
Yes.
Because you came to me and said, I really need some help here.
Yeah, because this is genuinely one of my favorite events of the year. And to not be there, I felt like it was my responsibility to get a solid, if not superior, really step in, an alternate, if you will. And I wouldn't call you that because this is right up your alley. So when I went to Rob and I said, look, there's a charity event that happens annually. I usually host it. Is there a possibility? Can you please? And you didn't even hesitate.
Well, we've heard you talk about it and the clown shoes and the red nose
yes.
in the past. And really, you know what? As far as auctions go, it was a delight. It was a long day.
Yeah.
It is a long day. They schedule. Now, there is a this sounds like an episode of Scooby-Doo. There is an abandoned torpedo factory in Alexandria where they actually built torpedoes in the first part of the 1900s that they've turned into an art space. And what happens is the Art League takes over the entire building for the day, and they have like 600 pieces of art, roughly,
yes,
in a studio.
Yes, artists from the Torpedo Factory donate
art. And then
to this auction.
They're numbered, and you select the numbers of the pieces you like, and then
it's a raffle.
Your name actually goes into a raffle, and you when your name is called,
it's like an auction.
No, when your name is called, you get to choose the piece of art that is left that's highest on your list.
So you could hypothetically pay, you know, a reasonable size ticket price and come out with a piece of art that's price or worth thousands of dollars.
It's amazing, yeah, amazing art. Yeah, it's beautiful stuff. And Carrie was going to go with me, and we're going to make it like a date, but Julia found out about it.
Julia Gulia?
And she said, art, that sounds so cool. And I said, you know what? What's important, Julia? I'd love to have you.
There's Julia going by.
They're going to pick her up, actually.
Yes.
She left with a lot of art.
Yeah. No, Julia Jellybean.
No stickers on it.
We would like to talk to you.
We would like to see your receipt, please. I said, well, Julia, you know, we're going. It's going to be a long day. I've been asked to host. You're going to be on your own for much of the day. But they promised us, you know, the VIP treatment.
Yes.
So you're going to have a good time. But you got to look nice. Because,
oh, that's sweet.
You know, you're going to an art gallery. This is an art auction. This is something. So she says, okay. And she actually goes to her friend and borrows a gown.
Oh, that is so sweet.
And she looked dynamite. Aww. And she knew she looked real pretty. And so she's posing in front of the art. But then as the patrons start coming in, what you didn't warn me, the only thing I got from dress code from you is I said, is it a sport jacket thing or a coat and tie thing?
Yeah, it's a sport jacket for you.
Yeah.
And not your family.
No, no. And you said a sport jacket would be fine. Then the millennials start rolling with coolers. I didn't realize this was
drinking event. I don't think the drinking is sanctioned, though. It's just for context.
Just for context.
Yes.
I may or may not have seen flasks. I may or may not have seen bottles of wine. I may not have seen bottles of liquor, which is when you're in an event that at the end of the night, you're calling your 500th number,
mm-hmm.
and people have been supposed to have been keeping track of all the numbers.
No.
And
it's wrangling kittens.
It really is. And what I got was there's balconies that surround you, and there's people.
There are three, just for, again.
It's a huge
You've got
site.
Three floors of sitting space. This place is jammed. They sell out every year early, right?
Mm-hmm. And so I am a total clown shoe and red nose type deal.
Yep.
Because there's 600 people looking at you, and all they want is hear their
name. They just
want
to hear their number.
They just
want to
hear their name so they can get their piece of art and go home.
Yeah.
And because it is such a huge facility, sometimes when the names are called, the people are in other rooms.
Or they're hammered.
So there's like drunk people on walkie-talkies.
But it's fun.
It is.
This
never
is
stops
all
being
fun.
Because you're
dodging bullets left and right. It's all verbal, and people are yelling at you, and you're like, oh my God, please.
What is so great is you go like, Matthew Bloom.
Yes.
And then there's a pause, and you hear, 268. It's because it's like, you know, they're playing telephone
it's
through the
walkie-talkies, yeah.
And then I go, Matthew Bloom, 268. And they go, now 258, Robbie!
They heckled you?
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Oh, my God.
I got some really solid heckling.
Yes!
Were there fans there?
There were people who knew who I was.
There were listeners. Okay. I received a few texts saying, Rob is doing an excellent job.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
that
sweet.
Where was I? But Rob is killing it. But yeah.
The heckling was probably, and this is the thing that is so weird. I was on mic from about 4 o'clock till about 9:30. There were two
I'll
breaks.
Tell you when the heckling came.
Go ahead.
Probably around the 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Boom!
Hour.
Yeah, you've done this event before. Mm.
That's when...
to go, Robbie. Are you deaf? Can't you hear? Can't you hear? Said it.
That's when the Cabernet or IPA has really hit full force.
Flowing like the Potomac.
Yeah. Remember, the next day is a holiday, right?
Yeah.
Day is a holiday.
Don't think they don't plan that.
Yeah.
But there was a couple things that got to be, I said, these are not my enemies.
That is awesome.
These are my friends. And I did it every time we came back from a break. I just total suck up. I said, I want to thank all of you guys who stuck around because you are the real art fans.
That's smart.
What we did is I don't know that they'll be asking you back because I did a really great job.
I hope that's the case. I actually texted someone that. I said, look, if they really want Rob Moore, please let me know because then I'll go and sit with my friends.
Yeah. Well, it would be so awesome.
And heckle
you. You know what would be awesome is if we split it like break to break.
Yeah, okay.
That would be awesome.
Hey, that is a solid compromise.
But my favorite thing is I said, if you can't beat them, join them. Mm-hmm. And what is awesome is, and it happens a lot in about the second break, people call out numbers that have already been called. And there's huge video screens all around this factory. And so they would put in, say, 272, and a big red box comes up, meaning they've picked something that's already been picked. And people go, oh, boo.
I said,
guys, we're civilized. Let's be organized. When someone screws up, let's just hiss. Because hissing is more civilized And it sort of brings back
something
that recognizes a classier time. So it'd be like, Matt Bloom, 272, red box, and then 600 people.
It's like you're trying to make the DMV entertaining.
That's exactly it.
No, but that is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
And the other thing that got to be at the end of the night where people were participating is when people would mess up like two or three times in a row, when they'd finally get a piece of artwork that was accepted, like 15 people, I'd lead them, but about 15 people around the factory would all go, nice! But I do have to say this, is that everyone at the Art League, everyone at the Torpedo Factory, they made me feel so welcome. And at the end of the night when the heckling was done and everyone got their artwork, they did come up and make me feel extraordinarily welcome.
You must have killed him, man.
But it was, as you said, it is Clown Shoe Central. Because you got, keep in mind, it's not just 600 patrons. It's 600 patrons, and they all brought someone with them. So you got 1,200 sets of eyes on you waiting for you to screw up.
Yeah.
And there's just so many puns you can make with three-digit numbers.
What a fun night, right?
Great night.
Did Julia pick something that she liked?
Julia got the coolest thing. It was actually an artist that has a residency at the Torpedo Factory. It was a limited edition print of a panda that came with a panda pendant
and
a hand-painted sushi tray that had a panda on it. It was so cool. She was, I think, among the first 70 or 75.
Great.
So what was awesome is at the front of the auction, when you pick your piece of art, a picture of the piece of art that you select goes up on the big video screen, right? And so Julia's pandas go up, and she gets...
Because people wanted it.
But I mean, we're talking all mediums. There was sculpture, there was painting, there were prints, there was actually knitting and furniture. It was a really fantastic day.
I'm happy that you enjoyed it, and I'm happy that, look, for all accounts, couldn't we both host it next year?
It'd be great.
And it really, look, I'm 38, right?
Right.
And what's nice about that event, there's anybody from their late 20s, now earlier with Julia there, to like their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And you have this cross section of a community that's supporting a great, great, not just event, but a great foundation, right?
It is a time when all sorts of arts funding is being cut.
Yes.
Across the board. And it's nice to see it supported. And I want to do a special shout out to the guy who did sound. It was fantastic. I could be heard throughout the entire factory. And to the guy who set up the mic stand, I am not 3'8". Okay. Had a lot of squatting, a lot of holding the mic and putting it in the... But it was very cute. It would have been great if, say, Diego had been hosting it. His mic stand would have been perfect. But thanks to everyone at the Art League. And, of course, thank you to everyone at the Torpedo Factory. And thank you, Oscar.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun.
You.
All right, we're back after this. I'm going to play some Pretty Little Sounds. It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everyone. Intern Dotson here. You know, the one whose microphone is never turned on. You know what tomorrow is? It's Wide Open Wednesday. Starting at 9 a.m., the Mike O'Mara Show takes your phone call. Want to be a small part of TMOS? Do you have a great story for the boys? Make sure to dial 888-920-MORE for your chance to talk to Mike, Rob, Oscar, and even Pony. Wide Open Wednesday, starting at 9 a.m. That's 888-920-6673. And make it count.
You know, you can also buy art at Amazon.com.
Yes.
But there's an important thing you got to remember. Please access Amazon through our portal. There's lots of ways you can do it. Probably the easiest way is to go to our website and click the Amazon button.
Click on the banner. It's, again, something you can do and support the program without even spending a dollar you wouldn't spend.
It's effortless.
Yeah.
It's an effortless way to support
the
program.
Especially if you buy supplies for your office or your company. If you're in charge of that, this is an easy, easy way to really make an impact on the program. So thank you for all your support.
We really do appreciate it. And remember, you can even go on the app, right?
Yeah, you can hit the little shopping cart on the app and you're good to go. There.
They've got everything you need, so make sure you check that out. That is the Amazon link. Do it to it. Now, let us open up this little thingy here and... let all the sounds come out and play. This was my favorite thing that happened while we were away. Are you familiar with the gentleman? I think he plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. His name is Kyrie Irving.
Of course.
Yeah. He has got a set of beliefs that don't necessarily jive with mine.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving is a talented basketball player.
Certainly.
But I'm assuming you can go to this clip.
Yes.
He has a conspiracy theory is what I like to call it.
It is. I think it's sort of a conspiracy theory. Also, I believe he only believes what he can see. He has a very literal sort of interpretation of what things are.
A little more context. This man went to Duke University.
Yeah, and I would say he's a graduate. I believe he is. But anyway, this is him talking about the Earth being flat.
Ben Diggles, this is a shout out to you. He came to us and he listens to super conspiracy theory guy.
This is not even conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the Earth is flat.
Oh, here we go.
The Earth is flat. Earth is flat. For what I've known for as many years and what I've come to believe, what I've been taught is that the Earth is round.
Yes.
But I mean, if you really think about it from a landscape of the way we travel, the way we move, and the fact that can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all planets aligned, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular with what's going on with these planets and stuff like this.
How are you going to put planets in quotations?
I'm going to put planets because everything that they send or they want to say that they're sending.
They thought Pluto was a planet until like 4 years ago.
It doesn't come back. There's no concrete information except for the information that they're giving us.
Okay. There's no concrete information except for the information they're giving us. The thing that I find so fascinating about that, he so truly believes it that he's using big words. He's really, really into it.
I didn't believe. I thought this was a bit at first.
So
I did a little more research, and there's a flat Earth society.
Yeah, sure. And there people all over the place are buying in on this, and there are all these claims about like Antarctica. Like if you go down to Antarctica, there's like a dome, and you can see this. They're crazy.
Well, and this is something you generally learn in grade school.
Yeah.
So it's not like he might have missed that elective in college. The idea that you believe this, and I'm not a type of man that says you have to believe everything you hear, right?
Right.
But this is just kind of like, hey, there aren't any tectonic plates.
Right.
Like,
yes.
You can see.
By the way, they had those at the art auction, a set of four of them. Yeah.
Fault lines. I mean, there's so many different ways you could find out the Earth is round.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was
going to space.
The whole thing was rather settled when someone sailed across and around the world.
How about the Hubble telescope?
Yes, exactly.
How about Galileo?
Yeah.
How about planets? It? They're right there.
So anyway, there's that. So keep that in mind. Even though he still had a better weekend than Clyde Stubblefield. Do you know the name Clyde Stubblefield?
I don't.
He was James Brown's drummer when James Brown was at his height in the 1960s.
I should know that.
But he passed away. The fact that is so cool, though, is that there was a song that James Brown did called Funky Drummer that is one of the most sampled drum beats in hip-hop. And this is Clyde Stubblefield. You'll probably recognize the drums. One of the greatest funk drummers of all time, Clyde Stubblefield, passed away this weekend. And I always like telling this story. If you watch 1960s performances of the James Brown Band, if you see James Brown point at someone in his orchestra, it's not because he likes them. It means they mess something up and they're going to be fined $50.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that was James Brown's deal. It resulted in a pretty good band.
Yeah, but still, I don't need someone telling me you're docking my pay. I'm not going to play better now.
But anyway, safe home, Clyde Stubblefield. Great, great drummer.
Take a powder.
New world's record was set over the weekend. How many times do you think using one hand could you snap in 1 minute? Just one hand.
I'm not very good at snapping. It's pretty
okay,
sad.
Okay, say the world record holder. How many times?
Let's say 78.
70? I would think that's pretty good. That's more than one a second.
Yes.
The winner was a guy from Japan named Satoyuki Fujimura, who snapped in 1 minute on one hand 296 times.
Two, one, go!
That's one hand.
Man.
And what's great, if you watch the video at the end of the minute, he's panting. He's breathing hard from snapping.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, congratulations to him. He'll be in the book with the guy with the long fingernails and the two fat twins.
This amazes me.
Mini bikes.
Like, how can you be so great at that?
Yeah.
Oh, is it that hard? Oh, never mind.
I don't know.
But I was like, I could do that? No.
You won't even need a girlfriend.
I'd be disappointed. Like, that's my talent?
That's all you got.
It's like the crappy X-Men or
something. When God gives you lemons,
you
make lemonade. Ah, did you catch The Bachelor last night?
Yes.
Yeah, Corinne.
Mad.
When you can't give away your body, which she tried to do last week.
Like my body?
She took Nick out and bought him a $3,000 outfit. Mm-hmm. She had him try on $800 sweatpants, $500 sweatshirts. She wants him.
Can't get it one way, try it the other way.
No, she gives him a lot of clothes.
Shopping and me go hand in hand. I mean, we're like white on rice.
Corinne is on a first name basis with everyone here.
How are you doing, Corinne?
Good. How are you?
Every time Corinne walks into a store, it's like Christmas morning to the people who are working at the store. I always thought I had expensive taste.
I love this. We'll take it.
No, I don't need it.
He needs it.
Corinne.
This is what life is like with me, and he needs to get used to it. I do know how to treat a man.
Okay, it's going to be $3,423.80.
Thank you. Fun, right?
This might be the most expensive outfit I've ever worn.
I love that after you spend $3,400 on an outfit, her response is, fun, right?
Yeah, and
yeah, fun.
Nick is the cancer in this season of The Bachelor, because A, he can't decide if he wants to be with these girls. Look, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know if he can decide if he wants to be with anybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then B, the idea that you have to think that a $3,500 or $3,300 outfit is maybe the most expensive outfit you've worn.
Yeah.
That should be the most expensive outfit you've worn, yes. Right?
Yeah, I've ridden in cars that cost less. I don't even think that counts as an outfit.
Did you say this is sweatpants?
Well, there is no, he tried on sweatpants.
$800 sweatpants.
Yeah, he tried them on.
That whole outfit that she bought in the long run was pretty expensive.
Oh my God. So anyway, that's what's going on in The Bachelor. I know that we're all rooting for Corinne.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope she closes the deal.
Great for ratings.
I think they deserve each other. Last tape, let us close with this. Canadian methamphetamine.
Oh. There's
trouble in Canada, folks.
A Canadian teacher was suspended last week after giving her students instructions for making and injecting crystal meth. I'm sorry, suspended? What do you have to do to get fired in Canada? Buy it for them? Hey, we're going to have to give you the day off on account of the meth, and I hate to say it, but you're officially on thin ice.
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday. I'm sorry, Tuesday. Everybody, Mike, we wish you well. Do good.
Yes.
And we will see you back here tomorrow, regular start time.
Don't
on the Mike
O'Mara
Show. Yeah, remember your phone. If you need to get at us, you can send us a mail at box 32101. Washington, D.C., 20007. Or if you want to get in on the Wednesday mailbag, you can email me. It's easy to do. Rob, with two Bs, at MikeOmaraShow.com. Remember, we rely on you to get the word out. So if you get this show, if you dig this show, make sure you tell folks about this show and get them to listen, because we sure do appreciate it. We're back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, thank you for listening today, because you guys are the best. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pony.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Mike O'Mara, in absentia. We're back tomorrow. Have a great one. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Sweatpants.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOmaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.